Brian, you might want to turn your mic on.
Thanks.
All right, good morning. We'll open the work session this morning. The date is April 19th, 2012. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We're meeting in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol, Bismarck. Our work session this morning is related to case number PU-07-759, which is the Northern States Power Company, Fargo to St. Cloud, 345 KV CapEx transmission line siting application. Make a few introductory comments, and then we'll have introductions from everyone else who's here. This is Tony Clark, Commission Chairman, and just for the benefit of anyone who may be listening in or both here and online, work sessions are the Commission's opportunity to talk amongst itself and with staff on a pending case that is before the Commission. Because in these matters the hearing record is closed, we're not able to take any testimony at this time. But from time to time, we may have a specific question that we may direct to someone. The purpose for this meeting is the first opportunity the Commission has had to discuss the CapEx transmission line siting application. We had the hearing back in January in Fargo, and we received some follow-up exhibits. The transcript was recorded as well, so I think we have that available to us, and it's the first chance for the Commission to discuss the pending issues that we have, concerns we may have, and give any direction to staff. With that, I will turn it over to my fellow commissioners for introductions.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Welcome. Brian Kalk.
Kevin Kramer.
And from staff?
Mitch Armstrong, Special Assistant Attorney General.
Jerry Leon from staff. And I have another document that I put together that I didn't bring in here. If you give me 1 minute, I can get it. It's a summary of the in an Excel sheet of the landowner testimony.
I
thought I had it here, and I don't. So give me 1 minute. I'll get it.
Okay. Sounds good.
I see some of them addressed in the findings, but...
For anyone who's listening in or may have tuned in late, the commission is meeting. We're just waiting for a document that staff is printing off for us.
Pat, do you remember what the application fee was on this project? Would it be the whole $100,000? Do you know?
$100,000.
It was, okay. Do we receive $100,000 both, for the corridor and the route? No, just for the whole thing. Okay.
That's an interesting thought.
What's that?
That's an interesting thought, though.
Yeah.
Well, if we're going to do the inspection.
Well, once in a while I have one. But thank you for acknowledging it.
Okay, thanks, Jerry. What we've handed out here is basically a summary of some of the key decision points, and these are generally, in cases like this, driven by public testimony that we receive, areas of concern that landowners have, and sometimes it's concerns that staff may bring up, but I think in this case it's mostly landowners that testified that raise particular points for us, and so we use that as a guiding document as we sort through the issues, and that should be helpful. Jerry and Mitch, did you want to just walk us through this, and then we can deal with these one by one, or do you think there's a better way to do it?
I think that works. I can just start going through this sheet, and we can talk from that.
Okay.
Okay. First on that sheet, we had Jack Dwyer, who was an attorney, who came on behalf of Warren Township, and he just appeared as a public witness. He was not a party in the case or anything. But Warren Township had some conditions that they wanted in the order that would help them to enforce provisions for road maintenance and stuff like that they were worried about in their township. And there was also a $500,000 performance bond requirement in those conditions. Anyway, Warren has since issued their conditional use permit with those conditions attached. And the question is here whether or not to include them in this order. And I think the staff recommendation probably is no.
Well, they tend to stand on their own, and so it's not as if our putting them in the order gives any more weight to the conditional use permit itself.
My belief is these are addressed through our certification, which is incorporated in the order. It's, you know, and I think it's in a couple spots, particularly number three of the certification. I don't think it is of any benefit to restate them in the order in any way.
Right. And if we do go down the path of hiring a construction inspector, which I think we may do in this case, that would give that inspector the ability to ensure that commission orders are being complied with, so on and so forth. And if it's in the certification, then we're good.
Yeah, and I would add that, if there's ever any problems with these cases coming from a township or something with maintenance and things like that, they've called me before, and we've just taken care of it.
No, I think that's absolutely the way it has to be then.
Okay.
So next is Dean Kraft, and you'll recall that he has a pair of airstrips on his property. And the problem was that there was an existing WAPA line on the north end of his runways. And when he takes off, he has to go under that WAPA line or else turn when he gets airborne. And in order to turn west, now with this line there, he's going to have to go around this line as well. And so it adds to his safety concerns with his airstrip. The company filed late Exhibit 32 in this, and towards the end of the documents that I had stapled together that I handed you out is...
I see it's addressed in the...
is Exhibit 32. And the company has... been trying to visit.
Hold on one second. Is it the assessment of mitigation options for craft airstrips? Is that
yes? There's an affidavit in there. And
from Darren Lahr?
Yes. Okay. And there's an attachment with a map. Actually, at the end, there's two maps. One of them is the airport map.
Oh.
This is the first one. And. we're not quite resolved here on what's happening. I think that we've got there's a landowner that owns the south half of that section to the west of the airstrip there, and he would be affected, as was proposed. It did go through his land, and now it would change on his land as the mitigation options that had been offered in that map. There were three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the word I'm getting from the company is, at this point, is they're fine with the commission just picking one. And as you can see with those three options, there's a house in the corner of the next section over, the southeast uh-huh. corner. And one of those options, there's a circle driven around that house on the map that yep. shows 500 feet.
Okay.
So one of those options is within the 500 feet. The other option goes diagonally right up against the 500-foot line.
Mm-hmm.
And that option probably minimizes impacts on the farmer there who owns that section, that half section, because it keeps it minimizes the poles in his field.
I was going to ask, so it's fewer, sure, it would be fewer poles.
It might be none, it might be one.
Okay. I was going to say, it could span that whole corner.
Maybe, I'm not sure. And then the third option was option C on that map, which goes way around that house. But then that puts the thing maximized in the landowner's field.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three options that the company is giving us at this point. The landowner in that field, I guess, is not available or out of town, out of the state or something. So I guess I'm not sure where to go with this at that point.
Is this all within the corridor?
Yes. The corridor
application was yeah. a 1 mile corridor.
So that's right. So
with,
yeah.
So with when, with,
yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
And we're looking at shortening the corridor to yeah. go around the line
right.
route.
But only after we...
After,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, getting a hold of the landowner, there's a process that they could follow to get a hold of them, or at least have documentation they couldn't get a hold of, other than just saying we couldn't get a hold of them.
Well, yeah, at this point, I think our options are to send the company back to the drawing board, come back with more talking with the landowners, with the neighbors, and trying to see if there's an agreement that can be reached on the three of them, or we pick a route.
Has the homeowner that's affected been contacted? Do you know? Have they haven't signed?
I'm not sure what's going on there. I don't think he wants to give the waiver, but I don't know that for sure. I think he would have had it if he would have wanted to give it.
But we don't have it, is what you're saying.
As of yet, we don't.
Well, in any event, if we don't have it, it takes that option off right. the table, effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we do have some reasonable alternatives from the looks of it here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I believe Mr. Kraft is here in the audience, too.
I see him, yeah. Okay.
So that's where we're at with that one.
I am comfortable buying a little bit more time on this. I mean, we're not going to finalize an order today.
Right. No, there's more issues to work out, too.
And there are going to be more issues, right?
I absolutely.
And we can buy some time on this and see if they have an ability to get more information into our hands before we have to make a call on it.
Okay, so next.
Can I get clarification, Jerry, on this option C? I mean, are we to believe, on the black and white map, it's just a little hard to see. Once it goes west over to what looks like 161st Avenue, does it go directly north then?
Yeah. It goes up in the middle of the field, in the middle of that section.
Oh, that's the middle of the section. Okay.
And it goes north there, okay. And then it goes west. So it's a square corner there that it would take. And so so it's in the field then the whole way, north and west. Provides a maximum distance away from the house, and does appear to solve the airstrip problem for the most part. If he's taken off south, he's still going to...
I was going to say, it is a little bit impacted the south end of the airstrip.
Yes.
But what I'm saying, though, is once it goes west, then it just goes straight north for quite a ways, evidently, huh?
And it goes out? North for about two miles.
Okay,
you see way
I
up
see.
There?
Yep, up in 39th Street. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a little hard with all the gray and black.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry. I
no, that's fine.
Have some color
I just,
ones here.
No, that's fine.
And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think the company's got some work to do with landowner and homeowner.
Well, I don't like the idea of him come back saying we couldn't get a hold of him. It just, that doesn't sell.
Option C appears to be somewhat more reasonable as far as the house goes, but it's maximum impact on the field. So, and it still does have some impact on the airstrip.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Option B would be really nice if the homeowner property.
Yeah, and then, but that's skirting 500 feet from his house, too.
Right, it is. Yeah.
Right.
And there might be some possibility for something along the lines of option B that is a little bit further away from the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to that.
I think, they'd need to know landowner preferences, I think, though.
Yeah.
Especially in that C. I mean, if it's on a quarter section line or...
Right, yeah. And all the field is broken up. Yep. Yep. Okay. Good old.
Okay, so next on our list here is Paul Rinke. And if you recall, Mr. Rinke owns the river crossing property. And he has some trees there he's concerned about. And I think he was frustrated that the thing was even moving to the south location when it was originally proposed north when they first talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that same issue from quite a few people.
Of course.
The map on the very back of your packet shows the river crossing area and Pleasant Township. And if you look at that, the route proposed was kind of a balancing act. If you move it further north out of there, you'll see some houses along the section line. There's a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of houses up there.
That it would be pretty much right next to. As is now, it's about a quarter mile south of those houses. And any further north than that is the proposed diversion area. And we had the landowners concerned that that may not be the proposed diversion area. And I've gotten some calls from people thinking that the Corps of Engineers wasn't having the final say on that, and there should have been some further discussions with the diversion authority and things like that. With Rinke, if you come into that area at all, it would appear that where they're crossing at kind of strikes a balance between the distance from his house and from the city of Oxbow.
Well,
and the
looky is you're trying to find a spot that where you're not impacting anyone within 500 feet.
Yeah.
It also,
and there's a limited number of spots where that's the case along the Red River.
It also has, and he, in cross-examination, admitted that it was, it also impacts the fewest number of trees anywhere there, in the area. I mean, there's actually a little bit of a clearing.
If you look at the map, you can see on the Minnesota side that there's a clearing coming into those trees there, kind of, that they went through. And then even on our side, the width of the tree grove there is probably less right in that area. Plus the river right there runs straight north-south, which makes it easier to span. So they're happy with that crossing point. There is some room in the Minnesota permit.
What a relief.
To jiggle it a little bit. And there's also provisions in the Minnesota permit for them to come back if they need to shift it a little bit.
Well, yeah. Wait, just so I'm clear. I mean, just so you're clear.
I understand.
I don't care about the Minnesota permit.
I understand that.
Well, and that's the issue, is we need to look at our siting criteria, and does it meet all of them? And I mean, there's a couple issues at play here. I mean, one is, does it appear to meet all of our siting criteria? And I think it does. And the key one being mitigating impacts on human beings, which means trying to keep it more than 500 feet away from any occupied residents, which they do. The other issues are more, in a sense, political in nature. The whole reason that it was moved to this general location was to be on the quote-unquote wet side of the diversion. And for people in that area, they feel like, wait, the diversion may not go in. We don't know if it's going to be there. If it wasn't for discussion of the diversion, this line would be a bit further north. And so the question is, to what degree does the commission take into consideration that diversion? Because I understand the point that the dry side of that diversion is going to be where all the future development takes place. So there's a public policy goal of using as little of that for public infrastructure space like transmission line as possible. People on the wet side feel like they're just getting dumped on, that the diversion's going here, they're on the wrong side of it. That's problem number one, or it may not go in. But regardless, now they're seeing other infrastructure going in because of the potential of a diversion, and so it's just a sore spot in general for them. But I guess the question is how oblivious to the fact that there may be a diversion going in does the commission need to be, or is it wise for us to not take that into consideration? I'm not sure that it is.
Well, as a general rule, the farther south you go of the Fargo area, the less people there are going to be. The challenge is just the way you laid it out. That's why the people down there are getting everything put on their back.
Well, and the further, and from a just purely transmission standpoint, the further south you go, the less reliability impact there is on the line. I mean, they're trying to keep it as close to town as possible,
right,
for reliability benefits. But understanding that there may be a diversion going through, trying to preserve the dry side land as much as possible.
As we look down the list of the rest of these witnesses, they're pretty much from the Bakke edition, which also plays into this same part of this discussion. And you can see on your map there that the Bakke edition is a series of houses. It's on the west side of Highway 25 and 7th Street there, a rectangular area.
Sure. I'm very familiar with it.
And as you look at the map, if you look at it close enough, you can see that it's about a half a section away from the proposed line on the northern border of the Bakke addition, the northernmost houses there. Puts them about a half a mile away from the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a fair distance, especially for the valley. I mean, it's when you're putting a large transmission line in the Red River Valley to try to get more than a half mile away from, to find a route where you wouldn't be within a half mile of anybody is going to be very, very difficult.
And so the question kind of comes down to, from what I can see here, of you can't shift it north really because of those houses right there and because of the Rinke property houses too. And if you look at your tree impact, you could move the river, you could leave the river crossing where it was and go north a little bit after the river crossing and get it further away from the Bakke addition. But then you're on top of those houses. It doesn't seem practical to go further north with it. To go south brings it in closer to Oxbow and to the addition. It almost seems like you take this route here or else you move it south of Oxbow. At least that's how it looks to me.
Have we heard anything from basically west of the Bakke addition? There's a block of homes that's actually closer to the transmission line. We haven't heard anything from those folks, have we?
I have not heard, unless we... I don't think anybody...
Has the township, have any of their permits been issued the same way that Warren Township has?
We have some...
Now, that's not our role, but it is just curious.
Yeah, we have some. I don't know that all of them issue the conditional use permits. I have a list from the company of stuff that they just filed with different permits. One of those is the Mapleton permit, which we're going to have to get to here, too, in our discussions.
That's really the other big
issue. That's the other big problem spot.
Yeah. I could give you an update on the Mapleton permit right now.
Before we move to Mapleton, let's try to finish the discussion about the river crossing area.
Seems to me that given the public input and the obvious things that you just stated, I mean, an alternative to this would be a dramatic alternative to this. Such as south of Oxbow or into Richland County or, you know, options that weren't on the table in the application.
Well, and at the end of the day, would bring the same issues, but just for other landowners.
Right.
Different problems, but...
Yeah.
in looking at this, just... And going through it with Jerry, I mean, every time you move it somewhere, it impacts somebody else, and every time you move it somewhere else, it takes impact from someone else.
It's fair to say north, I don't believe, is an option. I mean, you'll have increasing landowner impacts, probably dealing with the line within 500 feet of residences, which triggers an avoidance area. A lot further south isn't an option really either because you're starting to lose reliability benefits of the line. And you'd have to go dramatically further south. The area that they've chosen for the river crossing avoids all our avoidance areas. So we don't have any issues there. While it's never an easy choice to make, this appears to be as reasonable a line as route as you're going to get. For that one part of the line.
Well, this is a reliability was a major reason for this line. And that's your
the major
your
reason. Point. Yep.
Okay, so are we, you want to move on to Mapleton?
Yep.
They did file or try to file a conditional use permit application with Mapleton, and Mapleton came back and put a condition on them that said that all of the landowners, and this is explained in this Exhibit 32 as well, all of the landowners would have to have agreed to or signed easements to where the line is proposed to go before they would issue the or accept the conditional use permit application. And the company has, it says in there how many of them they have. It's four or five of them of the seven or something like that. And they have a couple left to get that they feel they have agreement on. And so they think that that is the way that this will go.
But just and so clear, no, these are the like the landowners on right on the edge of Mapleton there where the it's going to hang over?
The landowners wanted it on the edge of the section lines, on the edge of their fields rather than out.
Yeah.
And it goes into Mapleton, is it 30-some feet or something like that? It's just part of it's into Mapleton.
I don't even think it's that much.
Hangover.
The overhang of the arm, I think.
Yeah.
The overhang of the arm and the easement right of way, I should say, is into the very edges of city limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the city didn't really want it there.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Yeah. And but yet the landowners around there do want it there. And I think what it boils down to is whether Mapleton issues that conditional use permit or not. NSP thinks that that they have agreement with all of the landowners on that, and they'll sign the options, and that that's the way it goes, and so that no further reroute discussions necessary at this time.
Yeah, but what of the city of Mapleton then? I mean, if they haven't,
it's up to them if they want to issue their conditional use permit.
I got to believe the city of Mapleton is more concerned about the citizens of Mapleton than the adjacent landowners. But I mean, it's their CUP, but
I would expect the city to take whatever it needs to take into consideration when it decides whether or not to issue that permit. If they do issue the permit, then I think we're fine. If not, we'll have to visit it at that time.
Yeah, nobody from the city of Mapleton testified other than the city commissioner.
We had, yeah.
You know, testify on behalf of the city.
Well, is this one that we can wait on to see what the city does?
NSP, I think, is hoping for the permit this summer. And that gives us a little bit of time. And you know, I mean, if they don't get it exactly when they want it, I mean, that's the way it goes, too.
The alternative is pretty simple. If they don't do the permit, then you just got to push the line west.
From Mapleton, yeah, back, it goes in the fields where the...
Right, but I mean, it's yeah, it behooves them to work it out on both sides.
Yeah.
If they get it worked out, great. If they don't, the alternatives are pretty slim.
Yeah, yeah. Our certification order would require them to have... Yep. The conditional use permit from the city of Mapleton before constructing anything in that area. Anyway, if they don't get it, then they would have to reroute or come back to the commission one way or the other and change their...
And honestly, from a siting criteria standpoint, I don't know that it tips one way or another for us, other than if they're going to go in a spot where they need city approval, they got to get it.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, I'm fine with either route, but...
But here's my question.
The one they need to get sign up from the city.
It's so. True, but what happens if... If the city officers give a CUP, but the impact is clearly there's impact on the citizens of the city that we also represent, do we say, well, wait a minute, explain
to
us.
Is it triggering any setting criteria if
it's not within 500 feet, I suppose?
Yeah, if it's not within 500 feet, then, I mean, right.
At least what we've had here is, I mean, from the record at the hearing, nobody from the city or residents of the city came and complained about not necessarily wanting the line or having any particular concerns about the impact of the line. It was more, do we put it here or do we put it here? I mean, there weren't necessarily a negative impact. It was more of a, we'd rather have it someplace else. Yes.
Yeah.
There was that one corner area that there was some discussion about possible erosion or something.
That was an engineering design question.
Yeah. And that was...
And the company addressed that.
I'm honest. With this one, I'm fine with either route, but if they're going next to the city, they need to get the city permit. If they're unable to obtain it, then they need to look at other options.
And I think that kind of sums up the landowner testimony. There are several witnesses listed here, and they're basically from Pleasant Township.
Can you go back and check where that conditional use permit for Pleasant Township is at? Just to see if
it was issued.
It's already been issued.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was one here from Addison Township, Tony Coast,
mm-hmm.
And he was basically worried about a
value of his land,
of a quarter that he had bought 5 years ago that he paid good money for, and he was worried about the value of it,
and just the pristineness, the purpose.
Yeah,
as a land.
Yeah, it was farmland.
So I think that's
Jerry, you said the Mapleton CUP was going to be taken up when by the city?
Well,
about the summer?
I'm a little unclear, but I think they haven't accepted the filing of it until they get the landowners.
As I understood it, they were still waiting for, the company was still waiting for additional information from one landowner at least, and then they were going to file.
There was one family that had four different landowners in the family, and that's what they're waiting on for the landowners. But as far as what they're waiting on for the city itself to act, I don't know what the city's schedule is. Also in your packet is a proposed order that's not quite done yet. It leaves more discussion to be had in the areas of the Craft and the Mapleton and
Pleasant Township.
The Pleasant Township. But we can go through that at this point too.
Looks like there's been a pretty good amount of staff editing to it.
There has been, and I thought about giving you a clean copy instead of this because it's, and didn't, but we can go through this if you want, and then next time I'll bring you a clean copy.
I'm just wondering the value of going through it at this point.
That's what I wonder, too. I'm sitting here thinking...
most of it is not...
Most of it's pretty...
Not controversial.
Boilerplate, so until you get to these other issues.
Yeah,
the issues is where we're going to spend
like
all of our time.
Two of them were, we need to wait on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm not sure.
Sure.
What I would suggest, just for what it's worth, though, if you have... get this to Esther for me. She'll print it out in regular size and red line, and yeah. Then it's same thing. It's just bigger.
Oh,
you know, it's just. I mean, not that I can't read it, but it's, you know, in color, and then it's easier to follow the edits. But anyway, it's fine.
If you'd like, I can ship you a screen copy.
I mean, not today.
Okay.
But I mean, just for the next one, if you want.
Okay.
As far as everything back from any of the agencies that we would normally get stuff back from, Historical Society and all those things, are those things all buttoned up?
The historic, there was some properties that they weren't able to get on, they had no access to, mm-hmm. And so when they get their access, they'll have to go back and do the Class 3 survey on some of those and get Historical Society sign off on that.
Because usually we go through those, if it's a pipeline, we talk more about that, but those same things apply here that we haven't talked about today, so it would be nice just to have
make sure. Course,
right?
Yeah. I mean, they'll still have to go back at some point. But on this particular route, that should be fairly minimal work. I mean, it's all previously tilled farmland.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep, what you'll see in there is in any areas where there hasn't been a Class 3, for instance, yep. No construction can begin until concurrence is received from SHPO and things like that.
And actually, there is in this order, there is a ordering paragraph that requires them to...
Well, that's what got me thinking about that. And same thing with the Corps of Engineers, that you have to have authorization to cross and those kind of things.
Yeah.
But we don't anticipate anything from those... What we've heard so far, any challenges in there?
Yeah, the only thing that was out there that came to light was the SHPO document. I don't think they're having trouble anywhere else.
Okay. So. Jerry, I have a electrical engineering question about reliability.
Uh oh.
Only go to Jerry.
Yeah. This issue of the proximity of the line. It's the closeness to the city of Fargo. And the closer it is, the more reliability it provides. I understand that. But is that really, is it its closeness to the south edge of Fargo that provides a reliability, or is the fact that it's coming right next, it's coming into Mapleton for crying out loud? Is that, in other words, I think it's crossing the river further from Fargo than Mapleton is from Fargo. So what's really lost in reliability by going further south? That's in a nutshell my question.
You know, I wondered that myself when all of that testimony was coming through, and the only thing that I really can think of is that whenever you're going to tap into it, you've got to go a further distance with your taps.
Right.
And so your lines, your tap lines are exposed more for things like weather and stuff like that. There's going to be a little bit more losses with longer tap lines and stuff too, but
my point is the same line is running right outside of West Fargo. Basically,
we're looking at a couple of miles of difference in the location, and they were proposing to come in at Wahpeton and come up I-29 and
right,
and
it's still an option that.
Yeah,
it's very prominent in my brain because while it clearly any time you move something that dramatically affect other people, different people, yeah. We don't know that for sure. I mean, it's longer, but that doesn't. It's longer in North Dakota, but that doesn't mean that it's that the I-29 corridor doesn't provide some synergies and efficiencies, and that there's all those are options we haven't had a chance to look at, and of course they aren't relevant unless we do get a chance to look at them. I understand that, but
and you know, and I don't want to second guess their engineers either on it too much on the thing either. But
it is our job.
It's a couple miles difference. I don't, in my mind, I need more.
We see my point though is this: that even if it's 20 miles difference, mm-hmm. Why do we assume that the tap line, as you call it, has to be, you know, straight south of the city as opposed to straight west of the city where it's closer? I mean, if closeness is the issue, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not where it is now, where it crosses Ranke's land.
Mm-hmm.
It never gets further. It only gets close. It's closer the further north it goes once it starts going north toward Mapleton, right? So there are all kinds of closer places you'd tap anyway, and it seems to me.
And, you know, and I guess, like I said, I agreed with you. I didn't know that the reliability was that big of an argument.
But there is, to follow that line of discussion, the reliability, when you step back.
There is some difference.
Well, but also, too, the city of Horace, I mean, to go farther north, you got to run right through the city of Horace. And then, so it's just, there's a needle in there to thread.
Well, and of course, the concern is even if you go south, let's say you add miles to it, then every mile you add to it, yeah. In all likelihood, in the Red River Valley, you're adding more landowners that get impacted because of the addition of the mileage itself. I mean, it's
not easy to bring this line into the Red River Valley.
No.
And I mean,
that's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's. Point out if, for the reference, they did file the late filed exhibit 30, which has 100 some pages of the reliability and transmission capabilities and in the optimization of the line.
My only point is I don't buy, frankly, the tap line has to be closer to City of Fargo because the closest tap line isn't on the south, isn't on the east west part of the line. It's going to be on the north south part of the line up by Mapleton.
And
right, so it wouldn't matter if you went 100 miles south. You're not getting any further away from where they would be tapping. Either that or else the whole argument's moot. The whole argument's folly.
They may tap at additional places later in the future.
Yeah. Those two things, are generally the same.
Well, I think there wasn't there some desire, though, to even though the growth isn't currently right in that southern portion, the thought is that that's where... That's where it's all going
to
be.
So the city will grow out to the line.
Right. And that's where you get into the whole diversion argument. Is it happening? Right. Is it not? Should we
If you'd like, I can spend some more time in that Exhibit 30. I mean, it was 100 and some pages of study that they did, and a lot of it was the study of the need for the line. Well, so it's not necessarily going to say that it was better here or here or here.
And, I mean, remember, the people who were concerned about the line where it is are correct. The original spot for the crossing was significantly further north to try to get it closer to the city of Fargo, not further away.
Well, except that how much, what was that driven by? I think that was driven more by the fact that in the Minnesota side, the diagonal is the most direct coming up I-94, right? So
saves money.
It's just less wire.
And I think, I mean, part of what I think both Jerry and I have done is, you know, looked at the maps, too. And, I mean, what we have at this location anyway, other than the Reinke property, which is closer, but, I mean, it was able to be kept a half mile, I mean, a greater mm-hmm. distance from, you know, every place you move it, it's a half mile or closer to somebody or something.
I understand.
Around the crossing area, so to speak.
And, yeah.
But as we draft or do the order, making sure that our findings are based on something that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when we get that stuff back, then we can have another work session?
That would be probably the thing to do.
Okay.
I wonder if we should try to schedule one for the next meeting. Do you have any idea how long that? I suppose you have no idea.
I don't really know. I imagine they're going to want something within the next couple months.
We can at least wait till our next meeting to schedule
Yeah, we can put on schedule.
A work session. You can talk with the company about their efforts with regard to the craft reroute and how things are going with the city of Mapleton.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. If there's no other business, with that, we will close the work session on PU-07-759. Thank you. Starting at 11 a.m. in just 5 minutes, we have a special commission meeting on case number PU-12-42. Thank you.